Fred Film Radio.
Joining me at this time is Felia Alam, Senior Lecturer of the Department of Politics, Languages and International Studies at the University of Bath, UK, and curator of a mini-festival organised together with Cinema Italia UK titled Donne di Mafia Film Festival. Felia, welcome to the show.
Hey, thank you for having me.
So we're going to be talking about the Donne di Mafia Film Festival. It's a mini film festival exploring the representation of women in Italian transnational organized crime, and it's organized by Cinema Italia UK, and it will take place from the 6th to the 8th of March. Now, Felia, I understand that this mini festival is also part of your own research on women, crime and culture, and I'd like to know more about this, but before we get into it a bit more, I'd like to know where your personal interest in this topic comes from.
So I've been studying and looking at Italian mafias for now the last 25 years, and in particular the Neapolitan Camorra. So I've been kind of having my own personal research journey, looking at initially the relationship between politics and the Camorra in the early 1990s, in particular in relation to the fact that there were lots of Camorrista who started collaborating with the state. So we got a new perspective, we got an insider's perspective of understanding the dynamics, and in particular the political relationship, which is where I started. I have a degree in political science. And then over the years, I've looked at different aspects. So in 2010, I had a sabbatical and I studied very closely the criminal mobility, the social movement of the Camorra, moving away from Naples and Campania, and what it looked like and what it was doing across Europe. So I looked at, for example, its presence and activities in Germany. I looked at what it was doing in Holland and also in the UK, and I was interested in seeing whether it was changing, it was adapting, who was going, what kind of things they were doing, because we've always been told that Italian mafias are very specific to a specific territory and they can't really move out of their context or their territory of origin, as we call it. So that's my initial kind of general interest. And then I've always had an eye on women, but never really going into much detail. I've always considered them important. And in 2017, 2018, I got lucky in the sense that I won a 3-year research fellowship with the Liverhulme Trust, who are funding me at the moment to look at different criminal organisations. So what I've done is I've basically moved from looking at a very local context with a very specific methodology, and I've kind of slowly moved up from local, national to international, but always trying to use the same methodology, which is much more qualitative, much more kind of insider perspective. I'm interested in the individuals and their stories and their life journeys. So in 2018, I started this journey, which was to look at different criminal organizations, not only Italian mafias this time, look at criminal organizations in France, in Italy and the UK, focusing on the role of women. So this kind of allowed me to start having conversations and go back to the Italian mafias and look at them more closely. But I'm also got a wider perspective, which I'm also studying at the moment, COVID permitting, other organizations like Nigerian syndicates, for example, or Albanian speaking criminal groups.
So the general idea that people have is that women are background characters in the male-dominated world of transnational organized crime, but you seem to have found through your research that this is basically a misconception. Is that right?
That's it in a nutshell, in the sense that let's not forget that organized crime is very kind of sexy and fashionable and everybody's attracted by organized crime. So we tend to kind of have, on the one hand, reality, but then that gets, it seems to me, distorted for various reasons to then what we see in novels, what we see in film. And within that, we start to see these representations where the main characters tend to be men, the main vocal and active characters seem to be men. And I've tried to turn that on its head, not that I've done it on purpose. I collected a lot of different kind of material, and then I obviously interpreted it with my own eyes, which I think we need to make it kind of clear that, you know, researchers are not objective, although we would like to be objective. I come with my own experience. So I kind of tried to unpack things and realize that I could be reading you know, a statement of an Italian an Italian prosecutor, and realized that they were giving more weight to certain individuals, when if you went back and had a look at the bigger picture, the woman was much more active, but perhaps wasn't being given wasn't really being recognized as having the capacity to act or to make decisions. So it seems to me that we need to go and have a look at different criminal organizations, different dynamics, to see whether it is in fact the case that women are background figures and secondary figures. And in relation to the Italian mafias, and perhaps in particular the Neapolitan Camorra, we've always known that they've been more visible and active compared to l'Andrangheta and Cosa Nostra. But what I'm trying to do in a way is to sort of say, let's have another look at that. Let's understand what that actually means, because they may be secondary, but they also may be kind of quite powerful secondary figures. What does their power mean? Are they just victims, or can they also have a voice? Can they also be active in their non-visibility, if you see what I mean? So I'm just trying to push borders to think again and not accept kind of quite easy stereotypical pictures of, you know, the wife, the girlfriend. Well, what does that actually mean? And I found that if we go and have a look at the wife, and if we go and have a look at the girlfriend, actually they're not as voiceless, and they're not as agencyless as we might first think.
Right. And do you think there's a reason, I mean, what is your opinion? Do you think there's a reason why in films about organized crime, women are sort of relegated to those roles that you mentioned?
I'm not sure. I mean, I think it relates to our perception as a society, I suppose, and our different cultures of how and where we see women. I mean, in terms of Italian mafias, for example, the one way that people have justified or explained why, in terms of their visibility, the fact that today we accept that there are more women, is the fact that there's been this general kind of emancipation that's taken place in Italian civil society. And I just sort of think, you know, we need to go back and have a look at what actually that means, you know, because we might talk about Italian society being very patriarchal, but I would question that. And I would think that, and I think that there's a more matriarchy than we think, but we need to sort of have the courage and the honesty to sort of kind of look at that. And when it comes to film, you know, we like action, we like kind of macho values, if you want, we're attracted to that. But then to look at women and sort of try and understand them, either we look at them as secondary figures, and within that context, either, you know, sexual objects or individuals who are victims of violent abuse or people who can't actually make a decision. And it's very much this kind of notion that we're not recognizing what they actually do, or the role they actually play. I mean, I'm not saying that there are all these alpha women in criminal organizations and we've missed the whole picture. But what I'm saying is, I don't think we're giving them the true value of their influence and their power, and how they shape and determine, you know, the criminal actors who then perhaps go and shoot someone. You know, I found very many cases when, you know, the men might do the hard work of shooting, but actually the instigator, the support system, the people who are encouraging and who are determined to carry out that action are actually the women. And yet, you know, in the judicial kind of report, it's the man who's undertaken the action, so he is the only person we talk about. I don't know whether that makes sense.
Yeah, absolutely it does. And, you know, this might be a naive question, but I am curious whether in your research you found that there's some type of distinctive traits that Italian women have in terms of their role that they tend to play within the world of organized crime, as opposed to the women of other countries.
I don't think it's a naive question. I think it's a reasonable question and an interesting one, because the academic literature tells us various things. For example, it tells us that it's the market that determines the role of women. So there are certain markets where the skills that women have, such as, for example, more personal interactive skills or kind of personal touch, you know, that kind of more emotional but also more, how can I say, soft approach, soft skills that women have, is why you'll find more women involved in human trafficking networks, is why you might find women less involved in drug trafficking or drug dealing, because there's more violence and women tend to perhaps be more rational and risk averse. I still haven't come to my kind of drawn my kind of conclusions. What I can see is that there are differences in the way that women are treated, for example, in Albanian groups compared to Nigerian groups, compared to British groups, for example, where women, it seems to me, are very, very badly treated. And I can kind of start now to compare and contrast how, you know, that there are certain values in a society which means that women are treated differently, but whether that means that they're completely dismissed and relegated, or whether they're given space to have a voice. So I think, you know, we're still stuck with the idea that women can't be violent. We're still stuck with the idea that women, cannot make decisions or cannot make decisive decisions. And I think that it's not black and white. I think it's much more nuanced to a certain extent, where we have to look and say, you know, when you have a couple, we automatically assume that it's the man doing everything, and we don't really give weight to the role of the woman, whatever that might be a role of saying stop, or it might be another a way of saying go on, you know, get in there, kill him, or whatever. That's kind of what I think I want to say about how there are differences that they have, but I still need to kind of figure them out completely.
Philia, can you tell me how this idea of a mini film festival on this particular topic began, and how your collaboration with Cinema Italia UK began?
So I came across Cinema Italia UK a couple of years ago, and I really liked their work and the way that they're kind of, you know, keeping Italian community in the UK, but also English people kind of up to date with the latest films. And I was really interested and fascinated by that. So I approached them a couple of years ago about my project, about the idea of, you know, trying to see whether it was possible to sort of focus specifically on mafias and organized crime, but also in relation to women. And they were very open and enthusiastic about the idea of, you know, putting together these very different films which deal with very different aspects of mafia women. You know, the first day, the Saturday, they're two sort of documentaries which I think are really insightful to the difficulties that the young women have growing up in that kind of organized crime space. So they were very open and interested in the idea of trying to kind of deal with a very difficult topic. I mean, you know, talking about mafias today is still, I think, a hot potato. I still think, you know, some authorities or some political institutions don't really want to tackle it. And Cinema Italia were happy to take that on and say, you know, we need to talk about this. We need to engage, because in actual fact, it's only by looking at these films, it's only by debunking these myths, if you want, and talking about it, that we can actually then get to grips with how we deal with it and how we fight these pervasive criminal organizations.
I understand that also the films that have been selected to be screened as part of this festival offer an alternative perspective to the one that we've been talking about, one that doesn't reflect the misconceptions that you've mentioned, or at least don't tend to.
Yeah, sure. So as I said previously, the first day, there are two documentaries. The first documentary is one that was written now back in the late 90s, and it deals with the story of a young woman who's born into a Sicilian mafia family, and her brother and her father get murdered. And she has a kind of crisis of identity within that space of who she was and where she was going and how she was growing up, because her world falls apart. And she calls out for help, and she turns to the state to help her. And within that, she comes across Paolo Borsellino, the famous anti-mafia judge, who then is murdered. And we see her as a young woman growing up as this kind of product of that environment, and then her questioning it, and then a call for help, and the response that the state does puts out for her and helps her. It's really well done, because there's a lot of video, her own diary and her own words. So I liked it because of the insider perspective. It's quite a tragic story at the same time, because Paolo Borsellino, as we all know, is murdered, and then Rita, who has been moved to the mainland Italy and to be looked after and protected by the state, is then found, and we don't really know whether she was pushed or whether she committed suicide. So it's quite tragic, but her sister-in-law also is there in that journey, and he tells the story. But it kind of raises a lot of issues. In particular, she says at the end that she doesn't want her mother to go to her funeral, because her mother has been very negative towards her, and so her mother doesn't go to the funeral, but her mother manages at the end to go and smash up her tomb. So they're very powerful stories which tell and kind of unpack some kind of real harsh realities. The second documentary deals with the murder of a young woman in Naples during the Camorra War of the early 2000s. And it's kind of played out, acted out, and asks a lot of questions on how basically she had nothing to do with the Camorra, but she lived in that world, and she kissed the wrong person at the wrong time, was seen by the criminal group. And then, you know, to punish that person, that she was killed in awful situations. So again, it's kind of raising that, the idea of that space, and how you kind of engage with criminality, and whether you can can survive. So they're the documentaries. And on that day, in between the two documentaries, there'll be a panel, and the two documentary makers of that panel will be there to discuss and to take questions. And that'll be moderated by the journalist Claire Longridge. And then on the Sunday, we have two very different films. One that looks at, it's called Per Amore Vostro, that looks at the life of a woman in the Camorra with, well, she's not in the Camorra, but she's married to somebody who's part of that world, and their daily life, and how she falls in love with somebody, and she thinks that that's the kind of, a different way of life. And actually, it's all part of this kind of criminal activity. And it's kind of, it raises a lot of questions, and again, shows the insider's perspective of a woman. And then the evening one, the afternoon one is called La Terra dei Santi, which is again, very interesting, talking about the Andrangheta, this time in Calabria, and a female judge who goes down to Calabria and who realizes that in order to try and build alternative models to the criminality, she needs to take the children out of the care of the families. So there's this kind of confrontation between the state, this anti-mafia prosecutor, and the mother of the children, who, you know, realizes what she's doing, but at the same time, wants to sort of stay where she is and get her children to carry on that life. So there's this battle of wills and this battle of, you know, good and bad. And then on the Sunday, between again those two films, we'll have we've invited the judge from the first documentary, who dealt with the young woman in the first documentary, to come and talk to and answer questions by the Rai journalist Giorgio Zanchini, who kindly has accepted to come and moderate that session. And then the last day, the Monday, the 8th of March, because the whole festival is around the International Women's Day, we've got two different films. One in the morning, this time at 11, I Cento Passi, which a lot of people will know, which is the story of Peppino Impastato and how he rebels against his context and his father. And then there's the strong mother who in a way is torn between, you know, the love of her husband and the love of her son, who rebels against this kind of a mafia, Sicilian mafia system. So again, the strong story of a woman trying to hold it together, and having difficulty within that space, if you want. And then in the evening, it's more of a fun one, which is Amore Malavita, which is a kind of musical around the Camorra. So we wanted to finish with a positive note, but it's also one that kind of gives space and allows love to triumph. So in there is a young kind of Camorra killer who bumps into his teenage love just by chance within a kind of criminal kind of dynamic, and they manage to get away from the system. So it's kind of, you know, a message of hope. And again, the panel that afternoon will be a discussion between various women journalists about all the issues that have been raised during the mini festival.
So as you said, aside from the film screenings themselves, there will be Q&As and discussions and panel discussions as well. So it's all very interesting. But on the technical aspect, how will people be able to access these films and these panels?
So this is part of the Cinema Italia virtual player. In other words, the films start at a specific time. And I think that you can, if you go and have a look on the website, either today or tomorrow, close up to the nearer the event, there'll be the clear timetable, which will point out exactly when the films start, because the films all start at a specific time. So it's not streaming. You have to go at that time to be able to see the film. It's a virtual cinema. And you can, there are various prices. So you can have a pass for the 3 days. You can have a 2 day pass. You can just look at one film if you want. But if you go onto the website, it's clearly explained, and it'll clearly give the timetable of what's happening when.
Right. So the website is cinemaitaliauk.co.uk. It's been a very interesting conversation. So thank you very much for joining us and talking with us about it. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you very much for having me and allowing me to talk about this. Thank you.
Fred Film Radio, 24/7 on fred.fm and smartphone apps.